On a global scale, one in three women are subjected to one form of sexual violence or the other in their lifetime. Now, this is huge. I'm going to say that again. One in every three women world over are subjected to sexual violence, one form or the other, in their lifetime. This breaks my heart into a million pieces. And as I've said before, particularly about rape, the victims of rape are never the cause of rape. And this is contrary to some dirty, big, fat lie, some opinion that people who are raped have a hand in their being raped. My name is Eman, and I welcome you to the fifth episode of my podcast, Let's Talk Sex with Eman. And on this episode, we will be talking about rape with a focus on the victims of rape. Right after the break, I'll join you. Hey, have an idea you want to share? Get onto Anchor. Anchor gives you the platform to record your podcast with ease, edit it, and share it on its platform and many others for free. Go to the App Store or the Play Store and download Anchor today and let the world hear you. Anchor, give your ideas a voice and give your voice wings. Welcome back. Know this today, and even if you've known it before, I need you to take a stand by it at all times. I need you to be firm here that rape has nothing to do with what the victim wears. It has absolutely nothing to do with what the victim wears. And I dare say it has nothing to do with where the victim is, was, or where. No, it hasn't. And I'll explain that to you. What that means is, rape has everything to do with how the rapist thinks. It has absolutely everything, every single damn thing, with how the rapist thinks. And if someone tells you about their rape experience, please desist from asking them where they were as a means to want to judge them. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. I need you to understand that rape has everything to do with how the rapist thinks. Old women have been raped. Women in religious houses have been raped and killed. Pregnant women have been raped. Women in hijabs and abayas have been raped. Women in jeans have been raped. Women working in farms have been raped. Women in suits have been raped. Girls in uniforms have been raped. And babies in their cradles have been raped. Rape has nothing to do with what the person wears or where the person is, was, or where. There was a story the other day on the internet about a young girl in India who was going on an errand and she was gang raped and killed. I don't know how to stress this. I don't know how much I should stress this. but it feels like it needs to be said on the mountains and it needs to be heard all around the world. Rape has nothing to do with the victim's clothes. Like I just mentioned, people who are dressed covering their head to their toes to their fingernails have been raped. How do you explain that? Now here's the thing. Rape has everything to do with how the rapist thinks. Absolutely everything to do with how the rapist thinks. The rapist is someone who has sexualized the person they want to rape. The rapist is that person who sexualizes everything around them. Rape or forced sexual intercourse is something that rests in their subconscious. It sits there, it simmers there. So what they do is look out for victims and study their victims, maybe life partners or something, and and they look for the best opportunity that suits them to attack the person. So it is not what the person wears. It is not where the person is, was, or where that is the major concern. It is how the person thinks. So when we need to have this conversation about rape and rapists and the victims, then we should be able to talk about the major cause of rape, which is the mind of the individual who is carrying out this barbaric act, who is inflicting pain on someone else, who has decided to damn the consequences, who has decided to damn the effect his actions is going to have on the person they are preying on. Rape has nothing, I repeat, it has absolutely nothing to do with what a person wears. I need you to understand that. I need that to sink in your mind. So next time, you can't judge people based on, oh, what was she wearing? Oh, what was he wearing? Oh, where was she? Oh, where was he? That is not part of the conversation. At least not to judge them. It could be part of the conversation to investigate and bring the perpetrator of the barbaric, evil, vile act to book, but not to judge the victim. And it'll shock you to know that these 1 in 3 women I mentioned who are subjected to one form of sexual violence or the other in their lifetimes, it actually comes from people who are trusted. It actually comes from family members. It comes from their pastors or priests. It comes from their uncles or aunts. It comes from their cousins. They trust these people. They trust these people. And then the people in their wickedness decides to throw the trust away and carry out the evil act based on the fact that they are maybe physically stronger than the person, maybe more manipulative, maybe more financially stronger than the person, where they throw money at whoever is going to want to bring them to book. There are cases like that where people, after raping people, they use money to buy their way out of, they use the money to buy justice. It really, really hurts. These are people who don't, like I said, they don't consider the effects, they don't consider the consequences. And they must be brought to book wherever. Rape is such a wicked and cowardly act committed by broken people who have actually refused to acknowledge their brokenness and seek help. Now, the mind of this person, a person knows how their mind works, right? They know what they think about, yes? And to an extent, well, all the way, they understand the effects of their thoughts. And they go on to act on these thoughts. They go on to act on these feelings. Like I said, I'm going to repeat that. Rape is a wicked and cowardly act committed by broken people who have refused to acknowledge their brokenness and seek help. Because it really doesn't sit well that a person sexualizes everybody around them or everything around them, or a person is obsessed with someone and then the person doesn't see you in that light where they would want to lay with you, and then the next best thing you think you can do because you are a lot more physically powerful than them is to attack them and have your way with them by force. I don't know what is more barbaric than that, where you're having your way with someone, you're inflicting pains on them, they are most times in tears, they are most times struggling to get away from you, and you find pleasure in that. That is a broken mind. That is a broken mind. That is a broken person who has refused to seek help and should be locked away from the rest of society forever, for as long as time exists. A story surfaced the other day where a child, a really small child of about 5 years old, was at the mall with her parents, and there was a fully grown man who had an opinion about the 5-year-old child wearing a bum shot. He feels that the child is inappropriately dressed. How broken can one be to look at a 5-year-old child who is having the time of her life and say they are inappropriately dressed because they're wearing a bum shot? You have to understand that this person sexualizes almost everything they come across. It is on that note they can make such assertions. And then you have people who rape babies. Babies for Christ's sake. Babies for heaven's sake. Babies for, I don't know what to say. On the internet the other day, there was a story about a 32-year-old man who raped a 3-year-old child. When I read the story, when I saw the horrible pictures, I couldn't for the life of me imagine the pain the baby must have been going through when this coward was committing this crime. It really broke me. It really broke me. And I was moved to question the humanity of this person. It made me question the effect this incident will have on this child who is scarred for life. It made me question the environment as regards to children's safety. Where is truly safe if babies can be raped in their cradles, if children can be raped on the way from an errand, gang raped and killed? Where then is safe? It also made me question the law to which these monsters in human forms are answerable to, as in, is the punishment commensurate with the act? Because if it were up to me, I will sit down and I will have people come to me and let's deliberate on the appropriate punishment. And this is going to be so excruciating that this person will beg to leave. Obviously, you can't leave. And then the person will proceed to beg to die. But death will be far from this person. I don't know. It breaks my heart all the time when stories like this surface, where people who should know better, people who should do better, people who should be protective are the ones inflicting pains on the people they're supposed to protect. And then it just came to mind, I remember a story where a father kept his daughter in the house and continued to rape her repeatedly until she reported to the police. I go on to question the victims that have gone unreported, who might or might not channel their anger appropriately. It made me question how parents will see themselves as to whether they could have done better by their children. What could they have done? How could they have? That's one of the long-lasting effects that really isn't out in the open, where children are raped and parents begin to feel terrible that they could have, they should have, they would have, and all that. Imagine how broken a parent will be when they find out that their 3-year-old child, or their 3-month-old child in some cases, has been raped by a person. There are very many cases patterned in this manner that go on unreported and ultimately unresolved, most especially when it involves family members or wealthy people who can buy their way out of the law and evade justice. People have really, really incredibly touching stories of how they were raped by an uncle or by a family friend or by a priest, and they couldn't really come up to their parents to say these things because their parents wouldn't believe them. I can't imagine a child comes up to you as a parent and tells you, "This has transpired between Mr. Who or Mrs. Whoever," and you take no action in the name of trying to save face. you want to save your family name, you want to save your face, and then you take no action and leave the victim, you allow the perpetrator to be at large, and then go on to molest and to abuse other people, other victims, while the victim is somewhere thinking of how failed they are, of how unworthy they are, of how unimportant they are. When justice isn't served, it just makes the person feel less of themselves. They feel angry. I don't know the right word to use, but there's a pent-up anger from knowing that someone who's taking advantage of you is out there. Let me categorically say that there is no reason holding so much weight enough to justify dehumanization and degradation of another human being by raping them. I'm going to say that again. This is for people who are rapists and for people who are rape apologists. There is no reason under the sun that is so weighty enough to justify the evil, the dehumanization and degradation of another human being by raping them. There is no amount of offense someone could have committed. There is no justification for you to take advantage of them by raping them. And just when I said the rapist forgets or has decided not to see the effects of their actions, they really decide not to see it. Here are some of the effects of rape, and they're classified into three parts, where you have the psychological, the emotional, and the physical effects. When a person is raped, when a person has undergone that barbaric act, that evil, when someone is subjected to that evil, they have nightmares, they have flashbacks, they have depression, they have difficulty concentrating, excuse me, they have PTSD, they have low self-esteem, all from one evil act that could have been contained. Like I said, it is not so much about the person, the victim. It is all about the rapist, who cannot control their thoughts, who don't have a handle on their emotions. When you sexualize people over and again repeatedly, there is every tendency that you are going to look for the slightest opportunity to take advantage of them. Seek help, first off. Seek help. And then there are people you can patronize to ease off your steam, your sexual steam. You don't have to inflict that amount of pain on another person. And then there's the emotional effect, where they feel guilt, they feel shame, they blame themselves, they could have done this, they should have done this, why this, why that, and all that. Most especially when the person who's done this nebulous act is out in the open. They feel embarrassed, they have fear, and then distrust. There is sadness, there is anger, there is confusion, there is shock, there is vulnerability, the not the healthy vulnerability, there is the in subsequent episodes I'm going to talk about vulnerability as it relates to humans in general, and particularly when it comes to sexual relations. And then there is also isolation right under the emotional effects of rape. And on the physical end of this, you have people having eating disorder, they have physical safety concerns, they have substance abuse. Yeah, substance abuse. And then they have STIs in some cases. And then there's pregnancy. That's a huge subject on its own. Pregnancy, when it comes to being raped, some people live in places where abortion is prohibited, and when they get pregnant from a rape action, what happens? And then for some, like I've heard, it's against their religion, but then you were raped and now you're pregnant and you're gonna keep the baby. That's on another note, that's another topic on its own. And then there is the physical injuries. These, imagine having to put someone through this stuff. It's crazy. And you have not the slightest minute to take a break and evaluate your actions. Well, you need help. You need plenty of it. Not to mention the effect or the impact these have on loved ones who are going to be the ones to face these victims. What, as a loved one, let me quickly speak to this. As a loved one, what you can do to help the victim is not to blame yourself, is not to blame them either. Don't get angry and try to justify your anger by blaming them or blaming yourself for what you could have done or should have done. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with the rapist, who has a skewed mindset and is yet, or has actually deliberately refused to seek help. For Christ's sakes, there are people who are serial rapists. You inflict these pains on one person, on two persons, on three persons, and the number keeps going. Well, as a loved one, what you can do for your loved one who's a victim of rape is to let them know you believe them. Let them know you believe them, and then you begin to seek for justice. Encourage them to speak up. Allow the victim to make their own decisions as long as it's healthy. Support them. Be ready to listen to them. Be there for them. Be a shoulder they can cry on whenever they want to cry. There's a lot that silence does. You really don't have to speak. You just have to avail them your presence and let them know that someone is there for them. And then you also have to educate yourself on the myth of rape. As I've always said, sexual intelligence begins with self-knowledge. Sexual intelligence begins with self-knowledge. Do you know yourself? Do you scrutinize your thoughts? Do you question your beliefs? Do you take a stand against yourself and say, oh, let me see. Challenge yourself as to what you believe and what you can do or will do at certain times or certain places. Question yourself. Know yourself. When you know what you're prone to do, you will be able to seek for help when you need it. Knowing what triggers you goes a long way in determining the kind of help you need as a person. Sexual intelligence begins with self-knowledge. Sexual intelligence begins with knowing yourself. Thank you for listening to my podcast today. Like, share, comment, recommend, and let's make the world a better place. Thank you. Until I come your way again, I am your host, Airman, on this podcast. Let's talk sex with Airman. Bye-bye.